Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Rob, and as you've heard, we're starting a new series today. I'm really excited about it because we're going to be looking at worshipping God. And I mean really worshipping God. I think the majority of people in this country don't worship God, do they, at all? Or sometimes when we come to church, and I'm going to put my hand up for this one, sometimes we come and we just mumble through the songs. We don't really engage with them, do we? We may come with prayers, which are really a shopping list of sort of what we want. So we're not really engaging. So what I'm going to do is look at some of the Psalms this morning, which encourage us to sing with joy and sing a new song to the Lord. Of course, it's not just in the Psalms that we can find the people of God throughout the Bible singing to God, to the Lord. It's all the way through the Bible. And of course, we've got that great prayer that Jesus gave us, which you can find. You can look it up yourself in Matthew's account of Jesus' life, chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, which we know as the Lord's Prayer. And there, of course, Jesus encourages us to, first of all, to recognise God's holiness and God's majesty. He's our Father before any requests are made. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to really try and engage and think about how we engage with God, singing a new song, a song of joy. So we're all invited in this series to start afresh with a new attitude. And that's a key thing, a new attitude, a different attitude to praising and worshipping God. This week and in the following 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at praise, thanksgiving and love. Now, if you were here at the church back in 2013, you might remember, although for me that would be a bit of a stretch if I didn't look it up, but it was 2013. Right at the beginning of that year, there were some terrible floods in Sierra Leone. And sadly, that's happened almost every year since. But certainly in 2013, right at the beginning of the year, there were some really, really nasty floods. And so we contacted our friend Abston Boyer, and sure enough, he confirmed that there had indeed in Freetown been these floods. And in particular, disabled people had been really badly affected, such that everything, all their possessions, bedding, clothing, temporary homes had all been washed. I mean, literally, all washed away. They had nothing. And so we came and we told the church here what had happened. And as often is the case, very, very generously, we were able to give towards that. And we were able to send Abs quite a few thousands of pounds. And we said to him, look, Abs, you know what the priorities are. You know who needs what. Please, you know, take this money and do whatever you can to help people, particularly disabled people. Well, that year, that same year, 2013, in April, Chris Porter, who was then the senior minister, and myself, we went out to Sierra Leone because we were opening the new church at the Tombo fishing village. And I well remember that day. It was really, really hot, just like it was this last bank holiday, only hotter and more humid. But it was a great day. We got the church open. And the following day, Ab said to us, look, why don't you come along? Why don't I take you along to see how the money was spent that you generously sent across earlier in the year? And so he took us along to what is called a DPO, a Disabled Persons Organisation. And it was on a sort of smallish compound. There must have been 20, 25 families living there in what looked like temporary accommodation, although he explained, well, no, it's permanent for them. So there were poles with tarpaulins over the top. It was that sort of thing. And so we pulled up into the compound and he said, look, wait here in the car and I'll go and talk to what he described as the head man here and explain who you are and why you've come and just wait there while I do that. So Ab's got out of the car. He's disabled himself. So he walked across the compound on the crutches and this chap came up to him, who we assumed was the head man. We later found out it wasn't, but that's what we were assuming. So we were just watching from the car, and an almighty argument broke out. And later we learned what had happened was that this chap had come up to Abs who, let's, you know, he was expecting people to be grateful for what he had done, because he supplied them with tarpaulins, he supplied them with bedding, food, and everything that they needed. He'd supplied it. So he was expecting a little bit of gratitude anyway. Instead, this chap came up to him and said, well, he said, oh, you know, I've done this and I've done that. Absolutely. He said, yeah, but, you know, you could have done a lot more than you've done. You could have done so much more. And in fact, I don't think you're even really interested in us as disabled people. Well, if you had waved a red rag at a ball, you would not have got a more... well, let's say he reacted to that. And there was waving of arms and all sorts of things. We couldn't actually hear what was going on, but we could see it. And there was a group of people that had sort of crowded around. And after 15 minutes, we saw this other chap come across the compound, who it turned out was the head man. And he came into this group. He said something to this first fellow that had spoken to Abs, who went off straight away. And we later learned he was really apologetic towards Abs. And then he came back to the car and he told us what had happened. And he said, I've known that chap for years. This is the first guy that spoke to me. So I've known him for years. He's always moaning. He's always complaining. Whatever you do, he's never satisfied. It's the same old song every time. He's never, ever grateful. And I guess we all know people like that, don't we? You know, we all know people like that. They accentuate the negative. They accentuate the negative. They're always crying the same old song. You know, nothing's ever right. Whatever you do for them, it's not good enough. You know, they're never, ever grateful. And we don't really like that, do we? I don't like it anyway when that happens. And I was thinking, I wonder if that's how God might feel sometimes when we come to worship him, when we come here to worship him, when we come with our prayers. You know, we're never really grateful. We just, well, sometimes, let's be honest, we treat him like a genie in a lamp, don't we? You know, we rub the lamp and say, God, I want this. Oh, give me that, God. And oh, by the way, you know, I asked for this and you haven't done it. It's, you know, where is it? You know, that's, he must feel like Abs felt, you know, everything you've got is from me, but all you're ever doing is complaining and moaning. And just the other day, when I was preparing this, I read this quote from Christian author Tim Keller. Many of us will know Tim Keller, Reverend Tim Keller. And he wrote this. He said, if you say, I believe in God, I trusted God, but he didn't do what I wanted him to do. He didn't come through for me. Then you only trusted God to meet your agenda. To meet your agenda. And that's not how Jesus would have prayed, certainly. And he would have known the Psalms. He would have known how the psalmist encouraged us to sing with joy, to sing a new song. So this morning, I just wanted to look at a couple of psalms that do indeed do that. I could have chosen from any number of psalms which are really encouraging to sing with joy, to sing with praise. But I've just chosen a couple for us to sort of have a look at. The first one is Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. Now, this is a call to worship. Is it kind of coming up on the screen anytime soon? No. Is it up there? No, it's not up there. Is it coming on the screen? Anyway, I'll talk about it whether it comes on the screen or not. So Psalm 95, it says this. Come, let us sing for joy. And straight away, the psalmist is telling us what sort of attitude we should have when we come to God. We should sing with joy. Sing with joy, not, oh, you know, just mumble along. No, come and sing with joy. Sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. And this is really acknowledging who God is. And centuries later, of course, Jesus referred to the rock, didn't he? The rock, when he was explaining that we should build our lives on the rock. And here the psalmist is talking about the rock of salvation. See, the priest would have used this right at the start of the worship to really get people to focus and think about who God is. And then he goes on, he says, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And we've done that already this morning. We've started to do that. Come with thanksgiving, gratitude, really being grateful for what God has done. You know, oftentimes we think about what we haven't got, what is missing in our lives. But do we ever really thank God for what he has done? So come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And here we are, acknowledging who we're talking about here. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Amazing, yes, this is God, this is who we're talking about. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. God is sovereign. He made all of this. So come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. It's brilliant. This is really saying, come on, get focused. Think about this. Think about who we're talking about, who we're praising, who we're worshiping here. And then the next one I've chosen is the very next one, actually, that appears in our Bibles. It's Psalm 96. Verses 1 to 4 and 11 to 13. And this is all about praising God. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. I think the sense here is not so much as, you know, let's write a new song with new music. It may well have been that, but I think it's more about changing your attitude. You know, not the same old attitude, but a new attitude, a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation. When do we do that? Day after day. Not once a week on a Sunday, but day after day. Not when we're feeling okay and we're feeling all right. Day after day, we should be praising the Lord. Jesus said that in the prayer, that great prayer that he gave us. Give us this day our daily bread, day after day, sing to the Lord, praise his name. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. You know, just this week I was reading, somebody said, somebody had written, the greatest gift that you can pass on to anybody is a faith in God. And I thought, wow, do you know, I think I agree with that. I know it's not all down to us, I get that. But I also get what he was talking about. The greatest gift that you can pass on to anybody is a faith in God. And to do that, we need to declare, we need to tell people about his glory, all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Again, reminding us of who we're talking about here. And then we have this, and I love this. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. For all creation rejoice before the Lord. It's brilliant, isn't it? I love that. You know, when I read this line, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, I was reminded of something I read just recently. This chap was an author, a great naturalist, and a great author, a great writer, real, really good wordsmith. And he travelled around the world looking at flora and fauna and writing about it because he wanted to find all the best and exotic stuff that he could write about. But now he's retired and he's living in East Anglia. And he's come to realise that he didn't need to be travelling around the world because the glories of God, he didn't write it this way, but that's what he was getting at, are all around him. And one day, just down the road from him, less than a mile away, he was standing in front of a poplar tree. You know the poplar tree, the tall trees with leaves? I was going to say a thin tree, but I don't know that trees can be thin, but anyway, you know what I mean. And he was looking at this tree, and he just stood there, and he was just in awe. He really was awestruck, because the sun was shining on the leaves and the wind was causing them to sort of flutter like that. And he just was like, wow, you know, how can I possibly describe what I'm seeing? And he said, as he looked, he could see the word that he needed to use in the leaves. And the word was dazzle. It was the dazzle of the poplar leaves. It's brilliant. And so when I read that line, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, I sort of get that. I get what he's saying. It's like the whole of creation is singing before the Lord. It's brilliant. And it really focuses back on what worship and praise of God should be. So here's my question. How does your worship compare with the psalmist? That joy, that exuberance, how does that compare? How do your prayers compare? Would you say, yeah, that's what I do? And you come here on a Sunday morning, you're really focusing on who God is. Would you say that that's what you do? Honestly, every time? Or do you go away sometimes thinking, oh, you know, the music wasn't very good this morning. The words weren't very good. The preaching wasn't very good. This wasn't very good. That wasn't very good. But I want you to stop and think. You know, Jesus said, before you look at the speck in someone else's eye, look at the plank in your own. And I think this is a great time when we should be doing that. Now, that isn't to say that you can't have bad music and so on. I'm not saying that. But oftentimes, the real reason why we might go away thinking that is ourselves. Because we have not engaged with God. We have not really thought about who it is we're worshipping. We've not really done that. If we're honest, that's what's happened. That's what's happened. It may be that your song actually is a song of silence. Because you don't worship God at all. You don't praise God at all. You don't even pray to God. Maybe that's you. Well, I want to suggest this morning that you sing a new song. A song that starts off by recognizing who God is. A song that starts by acknowledging that God is the Lord of all, the King of Kings, the great Creator. He's our Father in heaven, and hallowed, worshipped, revered should be his name. So let's start, let's think about that, and let's do that rather than the same old dirge. You know, here at this church, we say, and I'm going to say again this morning, we want to be an authentic, vibrant, praying church. A church that worships God with praise and thanksgiving and love. Can you imagine a church like that? Can you imagine how, I don't know how God might react, but let's use our imaginations, that rather than getting the same old thing, suddenly he, you know, the same old dirge, the same old chuntering from a disconnected group of people. Now suddenly, wow, this is a new song. This is a song of joy. This is just fantastic. We're singing wholeheartedly and full-throatedly. I don't even know if there is such a word, but, you know, really singing because we're connected with God. We're really connected with God. We're really focused on who it is that we're worshipping. How would that be? Can you imagine that? I want to finish today by going back to that prayer that Jesus gave us. We call it the Lord's Prayer, and I hope it's going to come up on the screen. It is, and that's great. But before we say it together, I just want to read through the words, because, you know, here is a great danger. We know it, many of us, so well that, again, we'll just go through it without even thinking about the words, thinking about who it is we're praying to, and what it is exactly we're praying for. So, of course, the prayer starts with our Father in heaven. So straight away, we recognize this is a corporate prayer. It's our Father in heaven, not mine. You know, it's a corporate prayer. It's our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Greatly revered, honored be your name. Do you think that most people in this country honour God's name, revere God's name? I don't. But that's what we're praying for. We're praying that his name will be honoured and revered and hallowed. That's what we mean. And we need to mean it when we're praying it. Your kingdom come. This is about regime change. It's not a political statement. It's got nothing to do with Brexit. This is regime change. This is God in charge. That's what we want. That's what we're praying for. Your will be done. Your will be done. That is so countercultural today. Because today our culture tells, no, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. That's what it's about. It is not. And that's not what we're praying for. We're praying that God's will be done. On earth, in Bracknell, as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. So that's asking for physical sustenance. And note again that it's a daily thing. Jesus said, didn't he? Don't worry about tomorrow, but today, this day, give us our daily bread. And asking for physical nourishment, but I think it's also about spiritual nourishment. It's about having that inner power to live the life that God wants us to live. Our daily bread, a spiritual power, which of course comes from the Holy Spirit. And forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. All the things we've said and thought and done. And by the way, the things we haven't said and the things we haven't done that we know really we should have done. Lord, would you forgive us for those as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, here's a warning here, because look this up for yourself, Matthew chapter 6, because right after Jesus gives this prayer, he gives a warning. And he says, as you forgive others, that's how God will forgive you. It's serious. If there's something you're holding back on and you're not forgiving, then that's how God will forgive you. That's what Jesus said. And lead us not into temptation. You know, if you were here last week, Simon was talking about our vulnerabilities. And we've all got them. Even Superman with kryptonite. We've all got these vulnerabilities, these weaknesses. We know we have. We're not kidding anyone if we try to say we don't. We can't do it on our own. We're asking God to help us with that. But deliver us from the evil one. And make no mistake about it, we are in a spiritual battle. We are. We are in a spiritual battle. And you've only got to look around yourself, look at the news, whatever's going on. We are in a spiritual battle. We can't win that battle on our own. And so we're praying that God will help us with that. And in Matthew's account, this is where the prayer ends. But actually, there's a bit that's been added on the end. And academics tell us it wasn't part of the original, but it was added a few hundred years later, probably, by the church fathers then. It's called the doxology. That's what it's called. And if you know this prayer and you were taught it when you were a youngster, you'll know that the words added are, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I like that. I like the fact that they've done that. Why? Because it reminds us of who we're praying to. It reminds us of who God is. His is the kingdom. His is the power. And his is the glory. So I like that. I like the fact that they put that in. And now as we say this prayer together, we're going to include that as well. So let's do that. Let's pray together. But let's think about the words as we pray them as well. And really mean them. Try and really engage with God. So come on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.